Good morning, everyone. My name's Stan. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's my privilege and honor today to be able to look into the Word with you as we continue our series, Road Signs. And we're talking about proceeding with caution today, but I want to proceed with caution by starting with welcoming you. And if you're visiting with us today, by the way, can I have the lights up, please, for this part? Because I can't see faces. I want to see all these masked faces, you know? It kind of gives me some energy to see their eyes, at least. Anyway, if you're visiting today for the first time, we are so excited you're here. And afterwards, we want to buy you a cup of coffee, let you hang out, get to know us a little bit, let us get to know you. So thanks for coming. If you're online, which most of you are today, it is so great that you have joined us. And whether you're watching today or whether you're watching weeks from now, welcome. It's great to have you with us. We are in the middle of a series called Road Signs. And for those of you that are not in Australia that are watching us today, here's the road signs we put up with all the time. You can see that? We got camels, we got wombats, and we got kangaroos, because everyone in Australia has a pet kangaroo in their backyard, right? For that's all of you in the U.S. and China that really believe that. But here's another road sign that we have in Australia, and I want you to tell me what this road sign means. Roundabout, right? And what do you do when you see that sign when you're coming up to a roundabout? Slow down. Did somebody say give way? Who said give way? Gold star. Gold star for you, Sus Faruja. You know to give way in a roundabout. Well, the first week of this series, as we were getting ready to launch this series, I had a firsthand experience of someone who saw this. Well, I don't know if they saw the sign or not, but the sign was there, and they didn't give way in the roundabout, and here's the result. Yeah. That wrecked my day. I had things to do, important things to do. I had people to see, not so important people, but anyway. It just totally wrecked my day. It was an unwelcomed interruption to my plans. I didn't need to be inconvenienced by that, and that's the way I viewed what happened. In fact, when it first happened, my first thought was, well, no, my second thought was, you're a pastor, right? Forget that first thought, right? But over the last 2 weeks, I've learned that there's a couple of other ways I could have viewed that situation. I could have looked at that situation and said, I have my plans for that day, but God says, no, I've got a detour. Pastor Justin started us off in the series talking about detours when the unexpected things happen, and that we need to hold our plans loosely according to James chapter 4. And then last week when Pastor Enike was talking about giving way of our plans over to God, you know, when I realized that other driver didn't give way in the roundabout, which they certainly should have, it was their fault 100%. Have no doubts about that, okay, in case you were. But the other way I could view that was, it's an opportunity for me to now give way to God's plans for my life that day and for the future of my vehicle and however that's all going to turn out. If you missed those first 2 weeks, go back and listen. Stay connected. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're all over the place. And the best way for you to keep up with us is through the church app and so through all the social medias and everything. Now, one thing I found out since the day of that accident, which was December 31st, by the way, the last day of the year, finished 2021 with a bang, is that, dad jokes, is that I found myself driving a lot more carefully. And it actually frustrates me because I come up to roundabouts now and there's a little bit of timidity. By the way, I do not stop at a roundabout if nothing's coming. And if you do that, stop it, okay? That's not on. You shouldn't do that. But I'm slowing down. I look to my right, which you're supposed to do. If nothing's coming, I keep going. But now I'm looking hard to my left to make sure that other person is stopping or letting me go. So I've taken the approach not to stop driving because I'm afraid now, but to proceed with caution. Proceed with caution. Now, I don't know how long I'll still be cautious. I hope I get over it a little bit one day and be the aggressive driver that I once was. But that's how I'm doing now. And I think this proceed with caution pretty much sums up how everybody's feeling about life these days. Are you with me? Yep. Made lots of great plans for 2022, right? Well, can I suggest to you that we proceed with caution in that? Last year, the January series was this. It was rebuild, rise from the rubble. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Because we were coming out of 2020, which was a mongrel of a year, and we were going to take on hell with a squirt gun and rebuild. And then 2021 happened. So a year later, we're now hoping that life will come back to a little bit more normalcy. But after 2 years of being locked down, we're a bit cautious. And we're asking questions like these. Will we go back into lockdowns? Is it safe to go out? And what dangers are lurking out there? If you haven't been asking these questions, then you've been probably living under a rock, because those are just forefront in our minds every day. Is it safe to go out? Are we going to be locked down? And on it goes. So how do we move forward in that environment? Do we move forward in fear? Do we move forward by taking courage like we just sang about? For 2022, we have adopted these three words. Same ones as I'm navigating roundabouts with now is proceed with caution. Proceed with caution. There's a guy called Solomon who was the wisest man who ever lived, and he wrote a lot of proverbs. He wrote a lot of nice little statements to help us apply principles to our lives to help us. And he gave some advice about this. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12, he said this, "A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." Now, we are all in this building, and all of you watching online, we're the prudent people, right? But we live and survive in society around a bunch of simpletons as well. So we need to understand this, and you could help actually teach them this. Or maybe sometimes we are the simpletons as well. So there you go. When you make plans, you can count on problems. That's what Solomon was telling us. When you make plans, you can count on problems. Now, that is your inspirational thought for the week. You ready to go home now? Make your plans and count on problems. That's it. Experience tells you that things are not always going to go as planned. Things will be interrupted. There will be detours along your path. As we're now launched into 2022, we can see that this year will also bring a fair amount of uncertainty and unpredictability already. There are dangers, lockdowns, sickness, isolations that result from close contacts. That wreaked havoc on our teams this week. About half of our kids' men team are close contacts or have COVID, and on it goes. And we're pivoting. And by the way, a special shout out to the kids' team that's over there right now, rallying and doing a great job with your kids today. We've got canceled birthday parties. I had one for one of our granddaughters today, and it got canceled because of COVID. The diminished workforces, supply chain issues, on. And we're only in the second week, right? Make plans and count on some problems. What does the prudent person do? He foresees danger, takes precaution. He assesses, or she assesses, the situation and realizes that there will be problems that are going to come along, and factors that into the planning. Realizes that we can't just make a plan and assume that that's in a vacuum and there's nothing going to interrupt that plan. What does the simpleton do? They go blindly on and they suffer the consequences. They don't adjust. They plow on through. They arrogantly hold their plan in spite of the dangers and won't let go of it. An example of this would be Deanne and I have been talking for several months, actually all last year, about a trip back to the U.S. to visit her aging parents. And, of course, we're always hesitant on that, right? So, but the prudent person sees dangers, takes precautions. So does that mean that we won't buy tickets to go back to the U.S. ever again, or even this year? Not necessarily. It means, though, that if we do, we understand that there are some precautions that need to be taken. We need to purchase refundable tickets. Yes. We need to make sure that we have travel insurance that covers COVID. Yes, right? We need to have contingency plans for around here if we're going to be gone for a few weeks, right? So we take precautions. Now, Don't know if we're going yet or not. We're still tossing it up and trying to get the courage to click those buttons to do all those things. But that's how we have to operate in this environment. We plan for problems. Now, some people might say that planning for problems, isn't that a bit pessimistic? Anybody saying that? Go ahead, be brave. Raise your hand, type it in the chat. Say, Stan, you're a pessimist. Nobody? Wow. Well, my nickname many years ago used to be Armageddon because I could always predict the outcomes that were going to be negative and everything. But I would suggest to you that planning for problems is not pessimistic. Planning for problems is actually good stewardship. Jesus said, what man says he's going to build a tower without first counting the cost? Or what king says he's going to go to war without seeing if he has enough army to actually win the war? So planning for problems is actually good stewardship. And if we're going to be good stewards of our time and our talents and our money and everything that the resources God gives us, then we need to be planning for problems. So we know there's going to be problems. We can count on that. Don't ignore them. But still, how do we move forward in the midst of uncertainty and danger and fear? How do we do that? We can learn something from the nation of Israel when they were in a transitional period of their existence. The nation of Israel had left Egypt. They'd wandered through the desert, and they were a people now without a place. They had not gone into the promised land. Moses had led them out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years, and then Moses died. So now they're in transition. Warren Wiersbe tells us something about Moses' death here. He says this, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. That's another inspirational thought for you today. God buries his workmen, so you're a workman. You're going to get buried, and his work is going to keep going without you. And that's a great principle for us. There's a roadside principle in this for us as well, is that, you know, when you're driving, do you check your mirrors? Do you look backwards, right, to see what's behind you, right? That's good. But do you linger there and just stare at your rearview mirror for a minute or two or ten? No, that would be unwise, right? Why? Because you can't see what's going on in front of you if you're looking behind you, right? We need to be looking forward. Philippians chapter 3 says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We need to forget the past and look forward sometimes. Too often we get stuck in looking at the past. We want to remember the good old days, right? Anybody remember the good old days? I'm getting old enough I can remember some good old days, right? But we long for those days when you could maybe go and wash clothes by hand down by the river, beating them on a rock. The good old days, right? Those days when you could go out to your barn and grab a chicken and kill it with your bare hands and pluck it and then cook it for dinner, right? The good old days when life was much simpler. When you didn't have a car and you anywhere you went, you had to walk or ride a horse and a buggy. Nobody in the room remembers horse and buggies, do you? Right? But those are the good old days. Those are the memories that we like to forget when we talk about the good old days. You know, organizations like to live in the past. They constantly talk about their history and their heroes and the things that have happened in that organization in the past. Friends, when those things were happening, that past wasn't the past. That past was the present and the future. And it was scary. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was exciting. But people were stepping out in faith and doing things. They weren't just looking at the past then. They were creating what we see as the past now. But they didn't do that by looking at the past. The best way to honor the past is for us to build on the past. If you come from a great family that has a great legacy and they've instilled great values in you, build on that with your kids and on and on and on. In our church, we want to build on the past. You know, some people, we look at the people of the past, and we've got some great heroes of the past, not just in our church, but in our lives. We all have people that we look to. And some people say, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. You've ever heard that saying, right? We're standing on the shoulders of giants, people that have gone before us. You know what's happening when you're standing on the shoulders of the giants? you're able to reach further than they can because you're standing on their shoulders. They already built this. You're standing on their shoulders. They expect you to keep going, to keep reaching higher and further. So when we forget the past, we look towards the future. Now let's get back to Israel. Moses died. God appointed a new leader and gave him some clear instructions. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Joshua is being called here to replace Moses, to lead the people to the promised land. That's his calling. And there would be difficulties. God gave them the land. He said, that land is yours, but there was a problem. There were other people possessing that land. And Joshua had seen this land 38 years before. He had seen the land, and he knew it was a great land. And he came back with Caleb, and they were fired up to go, and everybody else said no, and so on. And Joshua had seen that the cities were fortified in that land. They had walls. They had armies. These were men who were prepared for war. Joshua knew what lied ahead if he was going to lead Israel to take that land. So with that as a backdrop, God tells Joshua to move forward. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. A few key principles we can learn from God's words to Joshua in that moment. First of all, when we make plans, we need to be courageous based on God's promises. When you make plans, be courageous based on God's promises. Why did God have to tell Joshua three times in this passage to be strong and courageous? I would submit to you that the reason he had to tell him that three times is because Joshua was being called to a task that was beyond his capacity. Joshua would have looked at what he was being called to do and said, not me. I can't do that. I don't have the power, the strength, the ability. I can't do that. So God kept telling him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Far too often, friends, when we may sense God wanting us to do something, either individually or even collectively as a church or as a community, we look at it and we think, wow, yeah, that'd be nice, that'd be exciting, but it's just too hard. It's beyond our capacity. It's beyond my ability. If God calls us to do something, friends, we can have confidence that He will get it done through us. So we need to proceed with caution. But when I say proceed with caution, what's the first word I'm saying there? Did you hear? Proceed. Everybody jumps to the with caution, right? Because that's where we live. We live in fear, especially in this current climate. But we still proceed. We don't stop. We keep moving forward. Phillips Brooks said this, don't ask for tasks equal to your powers. Ask for powers equal to your tasks. So when we have tasks that our powers can't quite get to, can't quite achieve, that's when we're asking God to give us the strength, to give us the power for that. In spite of the task being beyond Joshua's capacity, he could be confident because God promised at least three things in this passage as God's calling him. He's told him at least three things. First of all, he promised him the property. He says, I'm going to lead you to possess it. That's a promise. And then he promised him protection and victory. In verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you. Another promise. And then thirdly, he promised his presence. In verse 5 and verse 9, he said, I will be with you. So he's got the property, protection, and God's presence. That presence one, that's a promise God keeps on making. He made it then to Gideon after that. Then he made it to the Jewish exiles when they came out of Babylon. Then David passed that promise on down to Solomon. And then Jesus gave it to the disciples when he gave the Great Commission. And it extended to us when we see Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, quotes Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, God says, I will be with you. That's a promise that you and I can embrace. That in the midst of tasks that are beyond our capacity, that overwhelm us, God's presence is there with us. Notice that God fulfilled his promises to Joshua. We don't have time to get there, but at the end of the book, we see all these promises came to fruition. But it was after Joshua did something. It was after he exercised faith. It was after he stepped forward into that command to be strong and courageous. I love some of the preachers of the past and the way they say things. So I want you to read this with me here. It says, Joshua is not to use the promise as a couch upon which his indolence might luxuriate, but as a girdle wherewith to gird up his loins for the future activity. How good is that? You need to hear that again because you're still processing some of that difficult language. I'm going to read it again. Joshua was not to use the promise as a couch upon which his indolence might luxuriate, but as a girdle wherewith to gird up his loins for future activity. You know what he's saying? I'll translate. This is Stan's translation of Charles Spurgeon. Get off your bum and do something, right? Don't just sit or claim the promises while you're sitting on your premises, that kind of thing. It's like Joshua couldn't just lean into the promises and die. He actually had to step into the promises. We don't just claim the promises and say, well, God's going to be with me. We say, God's going to be with me. Boom! Here I am. That's what Joshua did. Friends, you should be excited right now. You really should. I am. It's not contagious. I don't know what's going on here. Doesn't mean we ignore the problems. We see the problems. We take precaution, but we proceed with caution. We keep moving forward. Then finally, or not finally, I got a lot more. Verse 8. We can learn in verse 8 that when you make plans, we need to be careful to stay on the right path. Verse 8, he says, study this book, meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey. Be careful to stay on the right path when you're making plans. Study means to mine it out, to spend time to get the skill. If you want to do anything in life, you've got to do some preparation and study. Yesterday, I was back officiating gridiron for the first time in almost 2 years because they're back now. And I was rusty. And before I went to the game, I was reading and studying and making sure that I knew everything I needed to do for the role I needed to play in that game because I wanted to do a good job. Friends, sometimes I think we don't treat our spiritual life, our Christian life, our walk with the Lord the same way. That we expect to be able to just live that out without ever putting in any effort to learn, to understand, and to grow in our understanding, to be good at living the Christian life. We need to study and then meditate. Meditate literally means to mutter, to talk to oneself. You need to make the Word of God a part of you. You need to be speaking the Word of God over your own life all the time as you just go through your day. And then certainly we need to obey. That means we don't just learn it and we know it and so we're really smart. We're actually taking action. We're stepping into things and not just learning but applying it to our lives. The Scriptures are road signs for us throughout the whole Scriptures. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us this: all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Friends, many of us don't realize or don't appreciate what this can do for us. The road signs that are here, the warnings that are here, the truths that are here to teach us how to live life. You know, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you live by the principles in the Bible, it's going to give you a better life because they're good principles. More importantly, though, they're from God, the creator of the universe. We need to take that seriously. It teaches us. It exposes what's wrong in us. And that's probably why we don't like to read it too much, because we're afraid of what it might say when we hold up that mirror to ourselves and we realize, that's kind of poking me and hurting me. But see, it not only exposes, it says it corrects us. It exposes, but then it corrects. It tells us how we can fix the problems. It is a powerful tool that you and I have to prepare and equip us. We've done a couple of things here as a church to help you get into the Word. We have a daily quiet time tool that's on our website, on the app. You can access that, and we can be reading the Bible together. That helps you get into the Word. It's simple. Takes about 10 minutes a day if you are into that. We're actually developing some other courses and some equip nights that we're going to be unrolling later in the year for you to help you go deeper into God's Word. And I encourage you to avail yourself to that. So when you and I have made some plans, we've counted on problems, we've been courageous based on God's promises, and then we have been careful to stay on the right path. There we go. When we make plans, we can have confidence in achieving God's purpose. We can have confidence in achieving God's purpose. Two times, in verse 7 and verse 8, God told Joshua, "I will prosper you, you will be a success." Anybody want to be a success? Type it in the chat. You want to be a success? The rest of you want to be failures? Right? Anybody want to be prosperous? Yeah, I see some hands. I see some hands. Okay, you just walked right into that trap. Well done. Well done. Good on you. That's what we all want, to be prosperous and successful. What does that even mean? Does it mean we're going to have a great career and lots of money? Maybe, but I don't think that's what God was talking about here. See, this was a promise that was made to Joshua specifically. It can be true principally for you and I, but what did it mean for him? See, God's call on Joshua's life was what? To lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That was God's call in his life. That's the context that he says, you'll be successful, you'll be prosperous. If you do these things, then you're going to fulfill my purpose that I called you to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You're going to be successful in what I've called you to do. You're going to be successful in my purposes, not necessarily your own, although those, as we grow in Christ, should align more and more to what his are. See, God was talking about his purpose, not Joshua's. Too often we'll take verses of scripture and we put them on t-shirts and coffee mugs that say, he's going to make us prosperous. He's going to make us successful. I know the plans I have for you. All that, right? You've got those t-shirts and coffee mugs, don't you? Right? Right? We've got them too. But friends, when we take those things out of context and we just claim promises that actually aren't even ours sometimes, and we apply them to our own prosperity, our own life, then we're getting into dangerous territory. We need to remember what those promises are based on. See, God does not promise to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise if we follow Jesus and do his will. He promises we will succeed in accomplishing his purpose for our lives, his plans for our lives. And see, often, friends, this hurts, this is hard to say, but our plans and our purposes, if we're not being careful to be in tune with the Word and following God, our plans and our purposes can actually be diametrically opposed to his plans and purposes. And we're trying to achieve stuff that he has no interest in us achieving, and we're not interested in achieving what he wants us to. D.L. Moody said it well. He says, our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding as something that doesn't really matter. God told Joshua, I will prosper you. You're going to be successful in something that really matters. So what do we do with all of this? The year ahead is going to have problems. Count on it. I promise you that. Some of them you already know about. Some of them will be a surprise. There's problems coming up this year for some of you in some of your lives that if you knew it right now, what it was going to be, you would run, you would cry, you would not want to face tomorrow. Those problems are going to come up. don't be afraid or discouraged. We didn't talk about that, but God told Joshua, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because I'm going to be with you. When those problems come up, God's going to be with you. Don't let the problems paralyze you. Don't let that happen. Be courageous based on his promises. Focus on his presence there. Be careful to stay on the right path. Study, meditate, obey the scriptures. And be confident in achieving his purposes. Give way to his purposes, not your own. One more verse from Ephesians chapter 5, three verses actually. It says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Back to the beginning where we talked about the prudent versus the simpleton. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. And we give you a way to remember the things that we just said. One little phrase that will help you take this home with you. It says this. Based on his promises and according to his purposes. Don't forget that part. Okay, when I first wrote this, I didn't have that in there. Based on his promises and according to his purposes, I won't let problems paralyze. I will be courageous, careful, and confident as I strategize. Okay? So don't stop making plans. Okay? Based on his promises, according to his purposes, don't let the problems paralyze. Be courageous, careful, and confident as you strategize. Then you can be assured. You'll be prosperous. You'll be successful in things that really matter. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom of Solomon that tells us that we need to look ahead and see the problems and take precautions. Lord, I thank you for the story that's outlined there in the history of Israel about the transition to Joshua, where you told him, be strong and very courageous. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your presence with us when we take on the problems that come along. Thank you that we can have confidence in success, confidence in prosperity based on your promises and your purpose. Help us as we step boldly into that. Help us not to retreat in fear, but help us step forward, proceeding with caution, but proceeding every day, step by step, in faith. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us again today. In Jesus' name, amen.